Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Different ways, because think about it. Being an entrepreneur, right? What do you need most times than not? Employees.
Mm-hmm.
What is one thing that we fail at? Because every job I've had has failed at building the employee. They'll tell them all day long what buttons to push, what levers to pull and stuff like that, but they don't build them as a person. If you actually give them the tools and techniques to develop themselves, you make a stronger employee. If you make a stronger employee, if they understand their whys and whats and why they need to move through life and how they can use this opportunity you're giving them to build their life, you got a better employee. You don't just have somebody coming in pushing buttons and it's going to cost you money to hire or refire. You're developing. Let's think about another thing. How many generations of people have we sent our children through adolescence just struggling with emotion, when for 100 years now we've had a system where we can teach all those kids how to use those emotions beforehand so they don't have to go through that crazy situation of adolescence where I don't know how to deal with my emotions. We have this information and it affects all of us. The simple fact is we all have a mind and emotions. We just don't know how to use it. What I'm saying is I think one of the easiest and best indicators is one we won't look at. Because honestly, like I've known this and I've seen it in other people. When you're BSing yourself, you know it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what it is. You know you're BSing yourself.
Yeah.
You may have a wall up because it's something, there's a cognitive dissonance you're going on that you need. But at the end of the day, if you sit alone with yourself, you will be simple and truthful. You'll see that. And that's the indicator. It's like when you're doing something, well, you have to practice that first. Because it's like going to the gym. You got to think about this work like going to the gym. Building your emotions, building your mind. You have to do these things. You have to exercise them. So if you go to this place where you're alone with yourself, exercise that. Find a place where you're simple and truthful. Whenever you're in that situation, go right back there and the flag will come up or go down. You'll sense it right then. And if you smell that stink, you know, well, this isn't it. I'm not feeling it.
Hey there. Look, my hope is that the Thrivo journey meets you exactly where you are and helps you rise into who you're here to be. It's 2025, and this is your year to thrive despite what the world is throwing at us. And our desire is that our conversations inspire you, bring clarity, and give you a reason to breathe deeper. So our ask is that you take a moment to subscribe, download the episode, and follow us on your favorite RSS platform. Your support doesn't just help the show grow. It helps build a space that's rooted in your evolution. And that means everything to me and the TTJ team. Now, if you're ready to go beyond the episodes, come join our private Thrive Will Journey discussion group on Facebook. We're walking through a 22-week series built to anchor each week in intention, purpose, and meaningful connection. I do so look forward to hearing your voice and can't wait to see you in the group. But for right now, let's get into it.
Dunked on, beat up, bullied, and dunked on. Bullied and dunked on, yeah. Let's get it.
Today, we're talking with Jim Rojas Taylor, Marine Corps veteran, actor, playwright, screenwriter, and author on a mission to change the way we think, From the stage to the page, Jim has spent over 20 years mastering the art of transformation. And now he's bringing that knowledge to the world through his book, All Your Best Selves. He believes emotional and mental literacy are missing keys to personal and professional success. So let's get ready to learn how to unlock the full power of our mind and emotions. And Jim, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. How are you today?
I am good. You know, I'm excited to talk to you and have a good conversation with you. But let's start here. So you're new to the podcast world, right? Like we just talked about. How's that ride been for you so far?
It's like most things, man. When I jump in, I just jump in and fire away. I don't know. I have that ability, I guess. Because like I said, my first podcast was February 6th, and this is my 21st one. So it's like, yeah, I've been crushing through it for the last month. But like I said, I think it's the idea. People are resonating with what I'm talking about. It's not me. I'm like, I'm a messenger pigeon. This idea is an untapped goldmine of potential.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're pretty new ourselves. We started last year. I don't think it was like maybe November, October, something like that. So yeah, the podcast world is pretty interesting, especially when you have a message to share. And when people are really attracted to that, you know, it says, okay, well, I'm glad you listened to my message. Like, you know, and this is a great way to get that out. And so just to kind of start with your background, you said you're the military background and you're an actor, you're an entrepreneur. Did the military influence like how you... your mindset and entrepreneurship and the acting world?
I mean, everything had bits and pieces. You know, I take parts from everywhere. The Marine Corps, some of the greatest gifts it gave me were like grit and tenacity, you know, sticking power. When everything sucks, that's fine. Suck with it. You know, it's okay to complain as long as you're still working, you know, it's that mentality. Yeah, yeah. So it's like even like regular jobs I've had, like once I got, because I was only Marine Corps 6 years, five active, one reserve, but the training stuck. It's like once I got out of the Marine Corps, everything was easy. Like my coworkers would complain at jobs I had, and I'm like, all right, bro, this is cake, man. But it gave me that. This idea, I really think, honestly, I traced it back to when I was 4 years old. It goes back to my youth when I was a kid. My parents took me to midnight mass, and the concept of eternity just hit me. I was a little one, but you know, I realized that if there's no end, there can be no middle. If there's no middle, it's the perpetual beginning. So 10 million eons from now, even though I didn't understand the time, I knew I would continue to exist. And what really freaked me out was the concept of what do I do with forever once I've done everything multiple times over. So it's like boredom freaked me out. Mm-hmm. So I instinctively regressed into my head. And I started creating, I treated my mind like a supercomputer, and I started creating programs. Two of my oldest were the suits and bubbles. My suits were like different versions of myself. My bubbles were like the holodeck in the Star Trek universe. They could be any time, any place, anywhere. So what I did was I created a space for me to go inside my head. And anytime I walked into a situation, I can test it out before I actually physically walk through it. I went through it in a thought experiment in my head. And then I got into acting after the Marine Corps on accident. Like once I got out of the Marine Corps, I started working at a restaurant called Lone Star Steakhouse. And I remember I was rolling silverware, and then there was this other female server there, and she was talking about her voice lessons going on, how difficult. Again, I was an honorary prick, and I started ball breaking. Mm-hmm. And you know, how hard are voice lessons? And then I just remember she snapped up. She's like, I bet you couldn't do 3 weeks, soldier boy. And I was just like taken aback by her fortitude. So I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll take it. So I went and found a voice coach and I was going to take 6 weeks just to show her up. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I don't know, whatever happened. The dude handled me so well that it just stuck. And he put me into a course. Then he put me into a play. And then I just started auditioning, and I just started booking gigs. Like for the first 2 years or so, probably 2 to 4 years, I was booking like 80-90%, which is not. Nice. Yeah, that's not, that's uncommon. Crazy.
Yeah, especially in the beginning of your career, man. It's really good that happened for you.
But it's not that it just happened to me. What I realized was these different suits, they're just different characters. My bubbles, those are just versions of Stanislavski's magic gift. I was building all the tools and techniques to be an actor my whole life. I just never realized it. And in 2008, when I was doing this film Hunger, that's when it clicked. because and if you've done camera work, you'll appreciate this. I was doing a film with a scene with Lyndon Ashby called, in a film called Hunger, and he was on camera. I was off camera. We were shooting his scenes. Mm-hmm. And then I wasn't in character because, I mean, I was a new actor, but I was present in the moment. I wasn't in character, but I was there. And then when they yelled cut, he reached over and shook my hand like I pulled his kid out of a fire. And I didn't get it then, but I realized later it's because I was still giving to him as an actor. So he was able to do his best work, even though I wasn't the character Alex.
Right.
And again, it's like when I realized that, I'm like, holy crap, man. These tools and techniques is the same thing that I learned. It's all teachable. So mm-hmm. that's when it hit me that this is a new form of human literacy. And it's mm-hmm. like you appreciate where it came from. You know, metal workers work with metal. Glass workers work with glass. Artists work with a canvas and paint. What do actors work with? Since Stanislaw, I mean, granted, the first 2,100 years of the first 2,500 years of Western acting has been pretend. It's what people think acting is. But Stanislavski changed the game. He made it philosophical. Right. So now we've gotten to the point where these guys, what they did was they created the chisels, the hammers, all the tools we need to shape the marble that is the human mind and emotions. And I'm saying is we just overlooked it because who looks to the theater kids for world-changing knowledge? But it's right. there and it's real.
Well, there's a connection, like automatically, as you were saying all that, there's a connection automatically for people who are in the acting world and those people who are just looking at the actors on TV. Like automatically, just to give a little bit of history of myself, I started acting in 2002 in Atlanta, Georgia. Moved to Los Angeles, and I think I started getting paid for my expertise at the time in 2006, then made on network TV in 2008. So I understand the world, and that's why I wanted to have you on, because I understand the world of what you're talking about. And so just going back to the connection of people who are not in the acting world to the people who are, when someone's watching a television show and they connect with that person, they can tell if that actor's really being the actor or the character or they're not. Because there's a world of difference, mm-hmm. you know? Yep. And when you're pretending, that just doesn't work in real life and on camera. Even though it is pretending, so somewhat, you're actually being the character that you've taken on. And so it really creates a real world for someone. And when you connected that with entrepreneurship, like how did that work? Where were you mentally when that connected?
Well, it's a lot of different ways, because think about it, being an entrepreneur, right? What do you need most times and not? Employees. Mm-hmm. What is one thing that we fail at? Because every job I've had has failed at building the employee. They'll tell them all day long what buttons to push, what levers to pull and stuff like that. But they don't build them as a person. If you actually give them the tools and techniques to develop themselves, you make a stronger employee. If you make a stronger employee, if they understand their whys and what's and why they need to move through life and how they can use this opportunity you're giving them to build their life, you got a better employee. You don't just have somebody coming in pushing buttons and it's going to cost you money to hire or refire. You're developing them. So like I said, these things go far beyond just ourselves. It can go into the business world. And two, if you're sharpening them, it's like Stephen R. Covey's Seven Habits. You're sharpening your saw. They're a part of your saw as an entrepreneur. They're a part of your tools. I mean, they're human resources, but they're still resources. So if you're giving to them, they're going to give back that good work because my employer's looking out for me and trying to grow me as an individual. And I'm going to reciprocate that by, taking care of his house. So yeah. That's one major way that I feel that will just be exponentially important to entrepreneurs, because it's something that's crazy overlooked. No job does that.
How does an entrepreneur go about doing that?
It's simple. All you got to do is, because once you practice these exercises, it's like, it's as simple as like, if you're a yogi, you're somebody who loves yoga, what do? You just share it with your people. It's mm-hmm. the same principle. It's just the tools and techniques are different. They make it tangible. It's kind of like when you go into spiritual practice, everything's intangible. It's oohs and ahs. This isn't that. This is A, B, C, and D. This is like the schematics of how to do things you need to do to grow and develop your mind and emotions, how to read behavior, how to break down a moment. And these are all things that we overlook because we don't understand the significance of. So I'm saying is once we get these things and we start just handing, I mean, just give it to them and start showing them. Once you lead by example and they see it in you, it's like anything else. Then they want to replicate it. Give them the tools, they'll do the work they need. But it is ultimately something they have to do themselves because nobody can do your own inner work but you. Mm-hmm. But giving them a system will change the game.
Yeah. Let me read something to you that you wrote. Just kind of open up with what you're talking about here. You said, I am making the argument that we should be using modern day acting tools and techniques to teach all people how to use their minds and emotions more effectively. And you can support this position by presenting scientific work done across the United States of America in small pockets that has produced data, which concurs with what we're talking about now. What is that scientific data that you can present to people?
I'll start off with the
minds of the scientists.
Absolutely. Dr. Joseph Levy Moreno, he is considered the father of psychodrama. What this dude essentially did back in the 50s was straight take acting techniques, put them in group therapy, and start helping people. Because the thing is, when you have one-on-one talk therapy, it's good. I'm not knocking it. And he said that's great too. But what he says, once you put people in a group and have them putting through scenes, it opened up different
parts. Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile. And you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Parts of them, you know, it activate different things. It unlocked different emotions or memories, and it helped them progress in that way because it's a different kind of therapy. Trauma drama deals with basically teens who have dealt with trauma. And I refer to it as reverse engineer healing. These kids have dealt with trauma. So what it does is they'll take these kids, put them through acting scenes in different traumas that they are not experienced to, so they can learn how to build the tools and techniques to help them through trauma. Then they can later take those tools and techniques they learn and tackle their own trauma when they've grown themselves more. Trying to think what else. I don't know if it's still there, but UC Irvine had a college course that brought together the memory center and the acting field and the psychology department. And basically what they were trying to do is teach actors not just, you know, the basic techniques, but how to create real emotion. I mean, real emotions, real memories. That's why they're working with the memory center.
Yeah.
And one of the doctors said it was kind of like teaching somebody the meaning of a song before you taught them the song. So it's like another way of going at it. And like I said, there's little pockets. Elmhurst College, they have a program. I can't remember the program, but I know that was one there. Sense Theater, it works with kids with autism. I think it's in Memphis. Trauma Drama, I believe, is in Massachusetts. But Sense Theater, basically what it does, it kind of pulls back the curtain for kids with autism because they have trouble reading social cues. So it's kind of like a stage play versus improv. If you're in a stage play or a movie, you have a script to work off. That's where you're given. That's what you break down. If you're an improv, you don't have that. You have to understand the structure of a play and how it works to do long form. So what they're doing is teaching these kids with autism how the structure of society works so they don't have to read the cues. They know how it works. So it's giving them an edge on life. Mm-hmm. And like I said, these are just a few of the examples that are out there.
Yeah. You know, it took me back to the beginning of my acting career. You know, I didn't know the therapy that it was giving me, and I didn't know that I needed the therapy, right? But I was not being whatever it was that I was, the character that I was taking on. I was acting. I was not fully immersed in the
presenting.
I was presenting, you could say that. And there was a switch, you know, somewhere in that space between beginning and actually booking jobs, where there was something internal that happened. And I was like, oh, this is what acting's all about. You know what I mean? Right. I could actually feel the difference of when I'm just presenting or actually being. Now, in that space, I was like, things that I haven't dealt with or wasn't dealing with in that character, I was able to bring that stuff up and deal with it. Do you think that's what, do you think that people should just go and learn how to be that in acting classes so they can deal with those kind of things in their life?
Well, short answer, yes, but I think it's a lot deeper than that. Honestly, okay. I think we need to remove acting from it because acting distracts people a lot.
The word itself?
Yeah, because a lot of people are like, why do I need acting techniques? When someone says that to me, it's like saying, okay, I have a screwdriver, right? And I'm unscrewing a toy Tonka truck.
Mm-hmm.
That's like saying that I can't take that screwdriver and go unscrew a panel in my Toyota truck. You know what I mean? Just a tool. So if we look at it just tools, remove the acting and say these are what these things do, they shape the mind, we realize there's a lot more. If I can, you know the Stanislavski system, right?
Yes.
Let me break it down for you, for your audience, but I want to break down what each thing does. Now, we know what we do as actors. This breaks down a moment for us. What I'm saying is you can use the Stanislavski system the same way a submarine uses sonar, because a submarine can't see anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what it's got to do, it sends out a ping, and mm-hmm. that ping tells it where the submarines are, where the surface is, where ships are, where whales are, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm saying is when you ever walk into a situation and you got these questions down pat, for me, when I walk into a room, it's just like ping, all these questions fire off. It brings back information so I can answer I can answer choices better in the moment. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the seven questions. Number one, who am I? This is the moment in relation to you. Number two, where am I? This is the moment in relation to the environment you're in. Number three, when is it? This is the moment in relation to time. Kind of like, am I about to talk to my boss before he's had something to eat? You know, am I about to get on the road before rush hour? You have to think about things like that. Number four, what do I want? This is the moment in relation to purpose. Mm-hmm. Number five, why do I want it? This is the moment in relation to desire, because if you don't know your what and why, someone can jump in there. They can hijack your what and make you do their why. Number seven, how do I get it? This is the moment in relation to action. And this is what people fail a lot. You have to plan and make that action happen. And number seven, what's in my way? The moment in relation to obstacles. Like, these are life questions that people fail to ask themselves. And I'm saying, if you create this as a lifestyle and you just ask these, it seems difficult at first. Like, oh, I got to ask myself these questions. But think about this. Something that we've all experienced, most all of us have experienced as difficult, driving. The first time we got behind the wheel of the car as a teenager, difficult. We were screwing around. But now it's like, you ever had that experience where you drove somewhere, you don't remember how you got there?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Because it's like automatic, right?
Exactly. Because that's a human phenomenon. That's how the mind works. It mm-hmm. takes information that you've done routinely, creates a pattern, chunks it together, and makes it easier. It takes less energy to do it. So if you do this, if you give this to kids when they're little, by the time they get old enough, it's just going to be the way they think. And when they walk in a room, ping, all this information comes back. And in doing so, it will help you think faster. Because mm-hmm. you're just using that same human phenomenon with the car that allows you to use a car without thinking at it. But instead of turning it to a task, you're turning it to the way you think. And yeah. the more you do it, your mind is just going to speed up. I know that because I did it.
Yeah. Here on the Thrival Journey, we talk a lot about not just surviving, but thriving. And a big part of that for me has been understanding my health on a deeper level. That's why I partnered with Live Good and brought it under my company, Orion's Health. Not just because I believe in the products, but because I've seen what they can do firsthand. I've walked through some hard health chapters in my life, including cancer and a kidney transplant. And I know what it feels like when your body's working against you. That's why we're offering two free tools that help me and can help you too. First, go to myfreehealthreport.com/Orion's Health. Take our quick health questionnaire and get a personalized report created by Dr. Ryan Goodkin, LiveGood's Director of Product Development. It's clear, actionable, and totally free. Second, visit myfreedetox.com and get a free chlorophyll and zeolite detox bottle with your first product order. It's a gentle, natural way to clear out toxins and start fresh, something I personally use and stand behind. This isn't just a sponsorship. It's part of my mission through Orion's Health to help people thrive in body, mind, and spirit. Of course, always, always, always consult your physician before starting any new supplement or health regimen. Your body is unique, and your healthcare provider should always be part of the conversation. The links are in the show notes. Now tap in and take your next step toward thriving. How do you integrate that into this process, right? Like, how do you integrate that into someone's life? Like, it's for someone who looks at it and say, you know, it might be good for you, but may not work for me.
How many choices do you think you have in a day?
I couldn't give you a number. it's many.
That's what I'm saying. And most people have no idea how many choices they have because they don't look for those choices. These help people because they let you see between the lines. They let you see the choices that you would miss otherwise. You know, let's say you're going into a job interview, right? Most people go into that job interview for the first time when they go to that job interview. I've rehearsed it 100 times in my head. You know, I thought about it beforehand. Let's think about another thing. How many generations of people have gone through, have we sent our children through adolescence struggling with emotion when for 100 years now we've had a system where we can teach all those kids how to use those emotions beforehand so they don't have to go through that crazy situation of adolescence where I don't know how to deal with my emotions. We have this information and it affects all of us. The simple fact is we all have a mind and emotions. We just don't know how to use it. What I'm saying is, well, first of all, science says the human brain is the most powerful supercomputer known to mankind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm arguing that we can use these tools and techniques like Windows 11 or Linux Red Hat. This is the operating system that allows the average layman person to interface their mind and emotions in a way they had no idea possible.
How can entrepreneurs optimize that for as being an entrepreneur?
Well, you optimize in a lot of ways. If you take these tools and techniques to heart, like I said, you're going to think faster. You can read people's behavior. Are you negotiating? You do a lot of negotiating because you're an entrepreneur, right? Business deals. Right. People are deceptive. If you study Meisner, now you know how to read behavior, so I can see if somebody's lying to me before they can. Also, if I explore all these different versions of myself, I can recognize people as they're coming, and you need to do that because you have to be aware of people as they're going because entrepreneurship is about seeing what other people don't see. That's mm-hmm. the underlying thing they don't tell you about. That's what makes an entrepreneur successful, being able to see what the average person can't see right off the bat, and that's what these tools do. They pull back the curtain for life and let you see all the little details that you wouldn't see otherwise because we're not programmed to see that. And we're all programmed since birth, and at least here in the United States, we've all gone through relatively the same educational system that's programmed us to be the same person. And we know that along with this, corporations spend billions and billions of dollars to understand and influence our behavior, how we think, how we act. They pour that money into affect our behavior. If you take these tools and techniques, you negate that because you are no longer a puppet for them to control. You have taken ownership and advocacy of yourself, and now you're creating that authenticity that they can't replicate or touch. This is about creating not just you, but not your best self, but multiple versions of yourself.
What I'm hearing is there's such a high level of awareness that comes when you're actually practicing these techniques. What do you say about that?
That's exactly what it is. It's because, I mean, that's really what theater is. It's life heightened. You're creating that drama. So in its essence, when these guys created these tools and techniques, that's what they're creating it for, to mm-hmm. heighten senses, to heighten what you're doing. So naturally, when you take these tools and techniques and apply them to your life, it's going to heighten everything. And that's what it does. It makes you more passionate. It makes you more intense because now you're in control of those things because these are your emotions. You mm-hmm. can feel them. Because think about how society treats us. We genderize emotions. These emotions are masculine. These emotions yeah. are feminine. That's hogwash. All emotions are human. We should be able to feel any emotion we want at any point in time. And little things. We don't even realize we don't come with a full box of crayons. We grow and develop. We grow and develop our emotions as we go. And that's part of the artist's job, is to give the non-artist new emotions that they didn't know they have. That's why when people leave the theater, they'll feel things they don't know how they felt, because it's the first time they felt those emotions. Mm-hmm. So it's like, instead of waiting for an artist to give you those emotions, now you're into the seat and you can give yourself all the emotions you want, because you can create a space in your head where you can exist as different versions of you, and you can experience and feel the world in different ways. This is a way to gain ultimate empathy. And we do it already. We know it as code switching. You familiar with the term?
I've heard it.
It's been popularized with, like, let's say, like, there's a kid from an urban environment going to an affluent neighborhood, so they'll change the way they speak and act to fit into that job. Well, I mean, all of us do it in a sense, because I speak to my grandmother is going to be different than when I speak to my buddies at the bar while I'm drinking, you know? Mm-hmm, we change. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is, we take these tools and techniques, create all these different versions of ourselves, essentially hyper code switching, and we can step in and out of them, because it's the philosophy of, instead of, because there's no best self that I can create of me that's going to fit in every single circumstance. Like, I wouldn't wear a tuxedo to the beach more times than not, because it doesn't fit. Like, if I was going to a wedding, sure, but other than that, I wouldn't. I would change what I wear. What I'm saying is, if you create different versions of you using these tools and techniques, now you have a whole wardrobe of selves to jump into. And when you do, let's say you have a problem, you can just click through these different versions of you, and the problem will look different. Therefore, different answers will pop up, because you have a different mental and emotional makeup to look at that problem.
You don't think that, just if someone says this, not saying that I'm saying this, but just as a pushback, right? You have different versions of yourself, but are you missing the main you, like you as your best self?
No.
Going into these different situations?
No, because they're all me. These are different parts of me that I've grown and built. You know, it's like I said, I wouldn't just keep putting on clothes and clothes as I get them new ones. It wouldn't make sense. Just keep stacking on different things and this one perfect all best self for you, it doesn't make sense. You need flexibility. You know, you need to be able to move around, because if you do, how are you going to see? Because this, again, being an entrepreneur is about seeing. If you allow yourself the flexibility to see through different mindsets, through different eyes, that's a gift. As opposed to just focusing on, this is my
warning. The following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations, because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Best self, this is the way I'm always going to think. This is the way I'm always going to look. That's static. That's like, that's not a good way to be in any sense. Like, I don't know where in entrepreneurship that's, when you're trying to build and grow, that's, I mean, granted, for the business-wise, but I'm talking about thinking. You know, in that mindset, you don't want to be a rock. You want your business to be a rock. But as the entrepreneur, as the leader, as the guiding vision, you want to be flexible in thought. So instead of packing everything into one version, I'm saying, let's switch gears.
Yeah.
Broaden your horizon. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying, is like, we have the tools and techniques to use it. It's just been overlooked.
Yeah, I get that. I was looking at, like, just in a day, right? Like, I'm focusing on business and I do multiple things in my businesses. But then I have my nephews that love to be over here at my house, right? And the way I am with them to make sure that they're getting, you know, the full me at that time is different than me talking to, you know, one of my contractors, you know what I mean? There's a difference in who I'm being for them than I am for my family. But in that, I'm still being, you know, a great version of myself, but it is different. Uh-huh. There's a difference there. And you talked about the mindset. And what's the biggest mindset shift people need to make or have to tap into their full potential?
That there's mentally and emotionally, by and large, there's nothing separating us. I don't care, the richest cat on the planet. Honestly, most rich people are not that intelligent. And there are brilliant people who are underneath the poverty level.
I agree with you. And yeah. I laugh because I just had a conversation with the producer today at our meeting.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, that's the biggest hurdle is that, that one and two things. That right there, that mindset, and also I get never quitting. If you stick to something you have conviction to, don't quit. But if you're searching, then you should be able to quit. Because this is something I don't think people do enough. It's like, well, they'll jump into something, and men a lot, because it's like, I did it, I'm committed, I'm stuck to it, and they'll do something they hate for decades. I've known dudes that'll do that just because they started it. I got to see it through. Nah, if I'm searching in life, if I want to find purpose, I want to wine taste life. I want to jump through a bunch of different things, take a sip. If I like it, spit it out. If I don't, if I like it, I'll buy a bottle. Mm-hmm. You know, if you jump into something and just stick with it, then that's yours now. It's like, well, what are all the stuff you're missing? If you get out there and try a bunch of, because the internet, that's the magic of it. You can find anything nowadays.
Yeah.
Get out there, look for something that you wouldn't think you would touch. Because like I said, I got out of the Marine Corps and got into voice lessons. And it wasn't because I had a plan or I had goals. It's because I'm impulsive. I just jump into the next thing and it leads me. I mean, there's so many things that I've done that people's like, how'd you do it? And it's like one example, when I was acting, I went to New York. I started acting in 2003, went to New York in 2005. In 2007, April 2007, I wrote the first lines to my second play. 5 months later, I had produced it on a New York stage. And everybody was like, how the hell did you do it that fast with the cast? It was a black box studio, but I didn't know what black box meant. So I built the whole stage. And it was just, and when they asked me, it's like, well, I wasn't smart enough to know I wasn't supposed to be able to do it, you know, because I wasn't trained. I was a jarhead. I just knew to take, I had the next step in front of me, and that's what I was going to take. And every next step I did led me down that way. But again, it was impulse. It wasn't goal. We just block so much in our minds because we believe that the system's told us. It's like, there's people who will make it, and you're probably not one of them, so stay on the bottom. No, nothing separates us. All you got to do is break through that mindset. Use these tools and techniques to grow and develop yourself, and you can be whoever you want. Granted, success is a little different because it's the world, but this is a different kind of success. This is a success that you can sleep at night with.
That's pretty powerful, man. When you were saying all of that, I was like, this is something that's intrinsic. It's a development for your greatness, for your purpose, or even if your purpose changes, you use the word impulsive. But I would say that there's a lot of people that are impulsive that end up finding their purpose when, you know, they're in that impulsive state. But you fulfilled on what it was that you wanted to do in the theater. Like, what was the draw to the theater that was like, or writing your playwright. I said, I want to make this happen.
Like I said, it's not so much the draw or the goal, because with the play, that was born from one reason. It was a roommate of mine. It was her birthday, and I didn't have any money, so I wanted to give her the gift of monologue. She was an actress. So I created this character, Ileana Lopez, and I wrote four, you know, good-sized monologues for her.
Nice.
And it was just a part of the story. And then after I gave it to her, I had it. So I just kept on going with it. And within like 3 more weeks, I had this script done. So it's like, it wasn't something I was thinking about. I just ran with it. I find myself in situations and I just need to act. And not act in the sense of perform, but just, I mean, I guess it's the same. Like I said, the word gets in the way because it's, instead of act, I just needed to be,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's what acting has become. It's not about acting anymore. It's about becoming, being. So that's where I'm in a constant state of needing to be, but I don't always know what I need to be because I spent, because like I said, I started this from when I was four. Mm-hmm. So I have so many different versions of myself that I switch in and out of constantly throughout the day, because in order to experience life, I have to live life through them. So I'll get into these versions of me and look at the world through them, whatever I'm doing, and I'll just switch through. So it's like I said, that's just how I live. And because it's the way I live, a byproduct is I just do stuff.
If someone's listening to you now, I know we kind of talked about it, and you talked about being, and there's a difference between pretending and being. I know we talked about it a little bit, but just to go a little deeper, how can someone who's entrepreneur or not, they can tell the difference when they're becoming the things that we're talking about, or they're pretending?
I think one of the easiest and best indicators is one we won't look at. Because honestly, like I've known this and I've seen it in other people. When you're BSing yourself, you know it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what it is. You know you're BSing yourself.
Yeah.
You may have a wall up because it's something, there's a cognitive dissonance you're going on that you need. But at the end of the day, if you sit alone with yourself, you will be simple and truthful. You'll see that. And that's the indicator. It's like when you're doing something, well, you have to practice that first, because it's like going to the gym. You got to think about do this work like going to the gym, building your emotions, building your mind. You have to do these things. You have to exercise them. So if you go to this place where you're alone with yourself, exercise that. Find a place where you're simple and truthful. Whenever you're in that situation, go right back there and the bullshit flag will come up or go down. You'll sense it right then. And if you smell that stink, you know, well, this isn't it. I'm not feeling it. And two, another factor, when you start exercising your emotions, I promise you, people will start saying two words. They will say, wow, you're impassioned. Oh, man, you're intense. Passion and intense will come up a lot. That is another flag right there that you're doing the right thing. Because if you're pouring out this passion, emotional passion and intensity, you're infecting other people. And that's one thing you need as an entrepreneur, because that's how you wrap people around your finger. You infect them. The best way to infect them, learn how your emotions work, because that's what we do. It's like, are you familiar with the it factor?
Yes.
Can you break it down?
Sometimes.
Have you ever tried? I can't.
I've never tried, because when people talk about the it factor, it's something that's pretty intangible.
All right. Let me rattle this off real quick.
Go ahead.
I'm saying there's five things. If you learn these five skills, you can have the it factor. Active listening, charm, intensity, generosity, and poise.
Say it one more time.
Active listening. So basically, active listening is hearing what the other person is saying truly. You're paying attention to what they're saying to understand, not to repeat back. Charm. Charm is infection. It's just that nice personality where you're warm, you're friendly, you're caring. Intensity. Again, that's that emotional passion that you're pouring out. You're laying into people. They feel that intensity. They get infected by it, right? Generosity. And this isn't generosity with money. This is generosity with your time, with your kindness. I see you as a human being. You matter to me and I care about you. That generosity with your spirit. And poise. Poise is one of those things where you have your body doing work for you, where you got somebody walking across a red carpet. You know how to stand. You're paying attention. You're focused. You're not focused, but you understand that my body has to sit a certain way in order for people to take me for granted or take me at hand. It's kind of like I heard there's like certain people who they'll go through like coaches and stuff like that. Celebrities, not celebrities, but political officials. They'll go through the same thing so they can stand right, so they can walk right. So it's something we haven't taken the time to break down. But when you break it down, once you understand it, now it becomes teachable.
And it takes the intangible to something tangible for a mental understanding. And I was affected by just those five steps because I was listening for. If, you know, not necessarily me, but who would have that? And I mean, it could be automatic and automatically generated from just who you are.
Some people are born with it.
It could be taught.
Mm-hmm. That's the key thing. Some people are born with it, but everybody can learn it.
Yeah. You know, that's, I mean, dude, I'm sitting here. I mean to call you dude, but Jim, I'm sitting here and I'm like, man, that's pretty powerful. And anybody that's listening, I mean, that's really a take that and just apply it to yourself. Just go ahead and wash over it. Where did that come from? Where did you come with those steps? Because I really believe that that may be actually what equals the it factor.
Well, it's just one of those things where there's no real definition for it. So anybody can come up with their own. So it's just over this lifetime of accumulating all this information, plugging it all down. And honest to God, my ghostwriter helped me out with it too, because I got to ever see the Godfather movies?
Yeah.
When I handed my manuscript, because I wrote 120,000 words, he cut it down to 60. But when I handed him my manuscript, it was Fredo. When he handed me my manuscript back, it was Michael. Like, it was like, I read the book after he handed it back, like, bro, who's this guy? It was just one of those things where it was a couple different things. But it all boils down to the same thing. It's like, this isn't as intangible as we thought. It's a lot more tangible. Like, mm-hmm. in my book, the third chapter is referred to as the intangible toolbox. And it breaks down Stanislavski, Meisner, Hagen, improv, and it's just like some of the exercises. I mean, there's many more, but it's taking what once was intangible, we can't really understand the spirit, the oohs and the ahs, and saying, nah, man, these cats, they broke it down. Because that's what they did. This isn't a get-rich scheme. This isn't something somebody's coming up to get your mind pumped up. No. Artists dedicated their lives. These were masters who were respected, dedicated their lives to perfect their craft. Their craft just happened to be the human mind and emotions. Mm-hmm. You know, and we don't have a mind and emotions for the stage and one for life. It's one and the same. So the tools work.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting, especially, I mean, we're recording this on, it's just March 8th. And it's interesting that you're saying all this because there's so much mess, and I won't keep it nonpartisan, no politics or anything, but there's a lot of stuff that's happening that is, you know, tearing people apart. And I think that in what you're saying, there could be a lot of problem solving once we really get just connected with who we are as people and not pretend to be somebody else or pretend to be somebody else for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I'll say this right here, and it may be dipping a little in politics, but I don't mean it to. If we study these techniques, we'll pull back the curtain and we'll realize something that we're overlooking. This isn't a culture war. It's not a civil war. It's a class war. The mm-hmm. left and right are connected to the same body, the 1%. Once we realize that, we'll stop fighting each other, because the ups created the left and right so the downs can fight each other. The only reason Democrats and Republicans are fighting is because they don't understand what's going on enough to know that they're all being manipulated. So once we take that into our hands, because that's also another problem. We say we the people on the Constitution, but that's not what it is. We vote people in, and that's basically just being a bystander in our government. You know, we the people means that all Americans, like all civil offices from U.S. president down to county comptroller, should be rotated in and out by all Americans. Nobody should be doing two terms, three terms. There's too many of us. Once we start rotating everybody in and out, it'll change the way we live, because the people on top will have to go back to the bottom. So they're not going to screw things up. You know, it's up to us. But once we realize that, once we unlock all of our best selves, we'll see the world in a whole different way, and manipulation won't handle us that way.
I agree with that. And I won't outskirt a little bit to outside of the circle.
Go for it.
Because I do another show called The Grit, where that would be something that we could talk about. But so how can, again, this podcast is, you know, about aspiring entrepreneur, beginning business owners. How can aspiring entrepreneurs balance the logic and emotion when making decisions? So we're kind of talking about that now.
Again, that's what these tools are for, to that balance, because how can you achieve balance if you don't exercise? If you don't exercise your mind and emotions, how can you ever get there? So the fact that you do these exercises are, let me just hit one last thing. I want to read you a list of soft skills that are either learned directly or indirectly by these tools and techniques. And then tell me, as an entrepreneur, how many of these would help? Presence, situational awareness, initiative, grit, projection, wit, breeziness, motivation, emotional regulation, empathy, critical thinking, teamwork, public speaking, problem solving, creativity, listening, independence, mindfulness, preparation, organization, goal orientation, interpersonal skills, communication. Like I said, that's a short list.
That's a bummer. All of those things.
Yeah, this is stuff that we aren't taught systemically. But by doing these tools and techniques, you're going to learn them. It's like I said it before. It's like when we gave the world written literacy in the form of language, changed the world. When we gave the world numerical literacy in the form of mathematics, changed the world. Why wouldn't it change the world if we gave them emotional, mental literacy? It's just a new form of literacy to add on the table. And all the skills that open up with it will be transformative. Because again, it's dealing, this is the information that deals with the supercomputer that is your brain. Mm-hmm.
What's your big game?
Say again?
What's your big game?
My big game? I don't know that I have one. It's because this isn't, I'm not the hero this idea needs. I'm the hobo it has. I shouldn't be doing this. But it's like one of those things where I would like to be doing other things with my life. But the magnitude of this idea that sits on me, it's taken over. I can't overlook it. I can't say I'm just going to do my thing. So I don't know if that's my game, but it is the charge that I have. You know, it fell in my lap. And now until I see it to a better place, I have to carry it. I can't not. It just doesn't compute with me. Mm.
What do you hope to see with what you're sharing, you being the messenger for this message? What changes do you hope to see happen?
As a global thing, I would like to see everyone use it. On a minor scale, I would like to see it implemented in the school systems alongside reading and math. Because like I said, if we do this, we're going to raise a whole new generation of mentally and emotionally capable people we've never seen before. But on the magnitude further than that, it's like if you think of a country, a small nation that doesn't have many resources, if they took this information to heart, they would just quantify their resources in human minds, human mental and emotional output. Because now you would have a nation of people who could see things most, it would be like a superpower. Like Wakanda, in a sense. You have a whole nation of people that can see, feel, and do things that most other people can't because they took the time to practice. It's kind of like a Shaolin temple. You go in there, you're going to get housed because these guys spent their entire lives practicing Kung Fu. Mm-hmm. If you get a nation, like a micro nation, that all their people took this to heart and practice it all the live long day, I guarantee you it'd be like a little nation with a superpower.
Just a superpower. I like that. I like that, man. Were you talking about, are you pointing to emotional intelligence when you're saying?
That's part of it. Yes, that is, it's not all, it's much more than that, but that is 100% in this emotional intelligence. Yes. Emotional regulation.
Okay. Now, I'm going to use the word acting. If the mm-hmm. acting techniques were incorporated into business training though, how do you think that the companies would change?
Well, I think the best place to implement it would probably be through HR, just because this is human resources, but it would change the way people treat each other, the way they behave. If you start teaching empathy, it will change the corporate environment, because the corporate environment has become very cutthroat. You know, you can't trust people a lot nowadays, because how can you share ideas openly in a place where this guy might snag my idea? You know, I mean, I don't know there's any truth to it. I'll just use an example, but the whole Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg and the Viramos twins, whatever the twins were, like, you know, I don't know if that's true or not, but it's that culture does exist where mm-hmm. if you start telling your, like even in the film world, you have screenplays, you don't want to start telling your stories out there because somebody else is going to write that story.
Somebody might take that script, yeah.
Exactly. We see it prevalent everywhere. If we start teaching these skills, emotional intelligence, because emotional intelligence isn't just, I mean, some people, it's just a word. What does that mean to some people? Mm-hmm. Emotional intelligence is about, you don't have all your emotions. You know, it's like, if you look at the script is a coloring book. Your soul's the box of crayons. Some people have 8, some people have 64, some people have 128. But that person who has 8 can grow to 128. It's just, how much are you feeling? What are you experiencing? Because there's a book, Dr. Lisa Feldman Barrett, How Emotions Are Made, The Secret Life of the Brain, I think it's called, where she presents the theory of constructed emotions to supplant the old theory of the triune brain, where she's presenting using data like computers and stuff because she's a brain scientist, showing how emotions created through the entire brain. You know, it's not just the reptilian brain, the mammalian brain, and the other one. So it's like we have science to support this evidence that we're doing something here with these emotions, how it's changing the mind, it's changing the way we think. And if we do that, we implement it into the corporate structure, we'll change our corporate world, because now we'll care more about each other. And you know, people always say it's weak. I don't think that's weak. That's how we build civilizations. That's how we build strong foundations. That's how we build families, cultures, clans. So if we start teaching this to people in a business environment, like the leader, the entrepreneur says, this is how we're going to be. We're going to look out for each other. They'll follow because that's what their leader is saying. Now, if their leader's saying, screw them, we're going to get her, we can't for herself. What do you think your people are going to be? So it's, what are you giving your family as an entrepreneur? What are you feeding them mentally and emotionally to grow and develop them? Because it's not just about growing you as the entrepreneur. You can grow you all day long and have poisonous troops, and you're not going to get anywhere. Mm. If you grow you and your troops and lead like a true leader, you'll have a force that can fight anywhere.
That connects back to what you're talking about, like the magical nation, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not only caring for yourself, but caring for yourself and the people that you're in connection with, that's connected to you.
But you can't act it. You have to be it.
You have to be it. Yeah. It's not even like confusing. It's not deep. I mean, it is deep, but it's not so deep where you just it's not understandable.
I think the most profound thing is it's been overlooked for 100 years.
Now that would be profound. But it's been here. It's been here. hide in plain sight.
Mm-hmm.
And you're out there, you're sharing it. And I appreciate you coming on the show. I have one question for you. What's one piece of advice you'd give to someone struggling with self-doubt, with emotions, you know, in their entrepreneurial journey or just in the journey in general?
Be curious. And I say that because in life, we have insecurities. What do we call insecurities in acting, in the acting world? Generally refer to it. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Generally refer to it as stage fright. When you're insecure, you're stage fright. Why do you have stage fright? Because you haven't answered all the moments. You haven't answered all the questions. You don't have all the knowledge you need to be in that moment. If you're curious, you start answering these questions, you fill in all those. So you're not going to have those, because that's where insecurities are born from, those empty spaces in us. Why do you have those empty spaces? Well, what do you fill it with? Needless junk, or actually developing yourself into someone strong enough to answer those situations? It's like, there's a quote. Have you ever heard that? I used to think this was an old military quote, but it blew my mind how far back it goes. And it goes back to a poet. It was a Greek military poet named Archilochos. And it was, I got it right here. We don't rise to the level of our expectations. We fall to the level of our training. So
yes, I've heard that.
Yeah. I always thought it was a military. I mean, it is a military thing. I just didn't realize it went back to a poet 2,500 years ago. Mm. But that's what I'm saying is, like, in order to, if you're curious, you're going to grow and develop yourself. And if you grow and develop yourself, you're not going to be insecure in those places, because you're actually answering the questions you need to know. So you don't have to have that insecurity. You don't have that stage fright anymore.
Mm.
So be curious.
So be curious. I'm curious to know how people can get in touch with you.
There's a couple different ways. I have a website. It's www.tbcenterprises.com. That's Tango Bravo Charlie TBC. I wrote a book. It's called All Your Best Selves. You can get it on Amazon. That's the only place right now, at Kindle or paperback. I'm also on social media. I started that a little less than a year ago. Last May I started it. I have Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, and it's all under the handle Soy Candy, SOICANDIE.
Oh, that's what that is. Okay, I was trying to figure out. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah,
but it's cool. Now I know.
Again, it was impulse. The name just popped up.
Soy Candy.
Yeah.
And you have your own podcast as well, right?
Actually, no, I don't have a podcast. I just interview. I use Podmatch to. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, so it's like all 20 have been on different podcasts.
Well, keep it up, man. Like, really share this knowledge
I'm trying
with people, man. I think it's really good for people to really get in connection with who they are as people, like the emotional regulation, emotional intelligence, and really being curious about life and just being able to have critical thought, think for yourself, but, you know, just become the greatness that you are. Anything else would you like to say to the people?
Honestly, I probably can go on for a couple of days, but I want to kill their time.
No, we're good, man.
Yeah, like I said, it's a great experience. I really appreciate your energy and being on the show. And it's, like I said, I really feel like this is going to bring us to a new future. We just got to take it to heart.
Keep sharing, man. Keep sharing, Jim. I mean, it's the tools, the techniques that we talked about, you know, for anybody listening, go back, listen to it, take notes, and get connected with Jim, and get that book. And Jim, appreciate you being on the podcast. You know, it was very enlightening. And talking to another fellow actor that has this kind of thought is pretty cool. I appreciate you being here, man. So thank you. And all the you listeners and watchers, make sure you go to Instagram or Facebook in our Thrive Well Journey podcast group. And as we always say about this time, make thriving your new normal. Thanks again, Jim.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Before you go, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being a part of the Thrive Well Journey. Every time you show up here, you're choosing growth, clarity, and the deeper work of becoming who you're meant to be in this world. And if you're ready to reconnect with what truly lights you up, I created something powerful that can help you. It's called The Empowered Path, 7 days to reclaim your purpose and passion. It's a beautifully designed guided workbook that walks you through a week of powerful prompts, clarity building tools, and real mindset shifts. Now you can get instant access to it today. It's a small investment for a huge return. Your energy, your clarity, your alignment. And if you want to take it deeper, check this out. I'm offering a limited number of free 30-minute purpose coaching sessions. No pressure, no pitch, just space for you to reconnect with your direction, your gifts, and what's next. So you can grab the guide and book your session at the link in the show notes. Let's not just go through the motions. Let's really walk this path on purpose. I appreciate you. And like we always say, let's make thriving our new normal. And I'll talk to you soon.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.